We just need more time, is the point of Linton Kwesi Johnson, dub poet extraordinaire. And this is one of my favorites by him called More Time. It's from his 1999 album, also called More Time. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead. Good to be back with you. And good to be back with you when we are doing our thing, freeing our minds. This is Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories. What is Free Your Mind Friday anyway? I'll explain. Free Your Mind Friday is your chance to vent. Yes, you could select whatever subject you want to talk about and have an opinion about it. That's the main thing. If we can't detect an opinion and you're just rambling, oh, we got to say goodbye to you. It is for the specific purpose of bringing to our attention things that we might not have discussed before, or things that require immediate attention because the ramifications are that important. And so it is up to you to do that work. Bring to our attention the things that are so important, and you will tell us why. Why should we know about these things? From your perspective, of course. Now, people may agree. That's fine. They may disagree. That's also fine. What I'm interested in is whether you're making your case. If you have an opinion, you have a statement to make about the policies that ought to be enacted, or why this policy is kind of cockeyed, or why this other policy is great and should be implemented right away. But you need to express an opinion. Now, when we talk about opinions, you know, it's a dicey subject on this program because people think they just talk and that constitutes an opinion. No, it doesn't. It's just you yammering, shooting the breeze, as they say. But we're trying to get people in the habit of, when they take a position, they can give you at least 3-4 points, strong points, in support of that position. And you never know. You may be changing minds out there, or you may be making people more resolute about what they're thinking. It could go either way. But in the end, it's about you getting more and more comfortable about having an opinion, expressing it in a cogent way, and winning us over with your argument, supporting that opinion. Okay? I have to be able to hear you tell us what this opinion is of yours. And then we have to be able to detect that you're following a logical course. You're taking us through how your brain works, how you went from point A to point Z in very quick fashion, but not sacrificing fact. You see? And that makes you a very dangerous kind of guy or woman. When you make your points, and you can back up what it is you're saying, or you can make a logical argument. Oh, you are to be feared. That's very, very important. And it's all the more important because it's the one thing, as you listen to radio, it's the one thing you don't hear very much of. You usually get a one-sided story. But nobody challenges very much what is being said. Nobody has an alternative view. And that's boring, isn't it? Is it boring? I think it's very boring. So this is your chance to bone up on some skills and at the same time to educate us, because you may be telling us some things that are putting us ahead of a problem and giving us information, arming us with information that we would need to make sense, more and more sense of the world we're living in. Fair? Yes. Yes, it is entirely fair. I'm glad I waited for your answer. Now, how do you do this free your mind thing? First, you ought to have an opinion about something. It ought to be an opinion. I don't want to hear what other people are thinking. I want to hear what you're thinking and why you're thinking what you're thinking. Make your case as cogently as you can, and let's listen to what you have to say. This is your open forum, so we suspend our regular forum, our regular program, and Free Your Mind Friday is an open forum. There is no scheduled topic, because that's up to you, the listener, calling in to tell us what's up next, what you want us to listen to, and see whether we agree or disagree. All right. It's very simple. You get an opinion. You make a few fast notes on a notebook or a piece of paper for your reference as you lay your argument out. Of course, you know you don't have all day. You also have to be recognizing that you should be concise. And then you give it a go. See where it goes. See where it leads you. And we ought to have some fun with it, too. It's not the end of the world if people disagree. Sometimes it could be the start of something wonderful. You never know. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. I would like, as you call in, not only to, of course, tell us who you are, but tell us what you're going to talk about. What is your thesis, if you will? 888-874-4888. These days, there's so many things that we should be talking about. And this is an opportunity to talk about it from your unique perspective. Put it before the public, see what they say. And we let you know. Of course, we do this all in the spirit of mutual respect. We're not about beating people up or shaming anybody or being negative. It's all positive reinforcement and great respect for the courage to be very public about what you're thinking. That's a very courageous act. So come on, let's move. 888-874-4888. That's the first thing we have to improve. You've got to be on the ball. So that you maximize the use of available time. All right. Quite a lot going on in the news that you should be thinking about, the ramifications of, and whether they would have positive or negative effect, or they would have an effect that most people would not possibly think about. Because it just isn't put out there. But because you are quite introspective, you will be able to disassemble these things and present them to us in a way that we say, oh, I didn't think that. Thanks for pointing that out. 888-874-4888. I thought you would jump at the opportunity to have your say, all by yourself. But you're kind of shy. That's not going to be good for you in this world to be shy. If you have something to say, say it. and back it up. You see? That's how we encourage you to do it. 888-874-4888. I'm working on a very special presentation for you. I think it is extremely important and impressive, and you should be prepared for when it happens. You'll be advised as we get closer, but it will be remarkable. It will be remarkable from a learning perspective. You will get to find out what's going on. Okay. All right, let's see. 888-874-4888. I see some messages are coming in, and I hope it is because you have an opinion about something. E from Edgewater, we will start with you today.
Good afternoon, Utrecht.
Good afternoon, E. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope everybody else is doing okay. I know it's a difficult time, and we do the best we can. What I wanted to talk about today was the British. I wanted to clear up something that Tony from Orlando brought up the other day about the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and the British Empire, three different things. The way I understand it, Great Britain is England, Wales, and Scotland. And the United Kingdom is those three, but also included would be Northern Ireland. That would be United Kingdom. Okay, those are two simple things. Great Britain, United Kingdom. But the British Empire, that controlled a quarter of the globe, quarter of the planet Earth was controlled by the British Empire. India, Hong Kong, Miramar, all those islands we talked about, Barbados.
Miramar's in Florida, South Florida. You talk about Myanmar.
Right. It was called, what was the former name?
Myanmar.
At the time that, no, it was called, it was another name of the country. They changed it to Miramar.
It was no, Miramar's in Florida. I just said that. Miramar
okay.
is in Florida. You talk about Myanmar.
Myanmar. All right. What was yes. the former name of that country?
I am trying to, searching my brain, and I haven't found it yet.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I'll get it.
Okay. And many other islands was controlled by the British Empire, also Canada.
But what is your opinion? You're stating factual stuff, that this was what it was and this is
yes.
what it is now. Okay. What's
yes.
the opinion that you are going to convey to us about any of this? You have an opinion.
Yes. My opinion is that the British Empire, which was controlling all of these countries and with their military might, somehow managed to lose against the 13 colonies. And in my opinion, I think it was done purposely so that we would think we were no longer ruled by a king queen, and we have this whole country to establish and make it a free country, and we have free enterprise, and we're going to build it up without any interference from kings and queens. And I think that's what British Britain wanted, because they didn't want to spend their time building up this country because they were too busy controlling all these other countries. So they
Britain was one of several powerful countries at the time, and they were all in the same business of conquering more and more territory. They were all doing it.
Right.
Not just
France,
Britain.
Spain. Mm. But you see, they also in England, they also had a problem with the people that were considered peasants, another good name for slaves. And every now and then there would be a revolt. And they always had to worry about the people revolting against the kingdom because they didn't like the way they were being ruled by the kings and queens. So in order to alleviate that.
But I wonder, I just want to bring this to your attention. You use interchangeably peasants and slaves. No, sir. There are two entirely different categories of people.
Well, that's your
and
opinion.
Treated very
in
differently.
My opinion, a peasant is a slave because that's what they called them back
no,
in the
old
country.
No, that's your opinion, but that is not
right.
a general opinion.
Right.
I'm saying it was very clear because even at the time there were peasants, there were also slaves. They were not
right.
ever
okay.
construed to be one and the same.
Okay, you're right. They had slaves also. But I thought that wasn't
okay.
until I thought that wasn't that I thought in the old country, which is it's a called sometime, that they didn't call people slaves because they wanted them to feel that they were free and that they had a chance to make a life for themselves. So they give them
the French
plot of land.
Did. The French called them esclaves, which is slaves. In most countries where you had slavery, they were very clear to distinguish between slaves and the regular poor people, working stiffs, they were very clear about that. Slaves were at the bottom of the ladder, the bottom rung of the ladder. Excuse me.
Okay.
But in countries where you had slavery, they were not at all unclear about it, nor was the general society. Everybody understood the structure of society and where you fit. What you can do, what you can't do. Where you can live, where you can't live. Where you can go, where you can't go.
Right.
Well, thank you, Harvey, now. Thanks a lot, E. But you didn't get to the point. You didn't get to the point today.
I didn't make
so
it today.
So we'll have to give you a ticket.
Get a C
and
minus.
And when you
today.
Reclaim it, you would present a cogent argument to state your case. Thank you so much, though. I really appreciate your call. Harvey
right,
from Berkeley.
You.
Hello, Harvey. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Fantastic, Utrice. And you're sounding wonderful yourself right now.
I'm having a ball.
All right. That's what I want to hear.
Yes, I'm having a ball.
Well, to make sure that you continue having a ball and as well as your wonderful audience, with Christmas and New Year's coming right up, people will be consuming a lot of refined sugar. And if you go to your favorite search engine and type in, is refined sugar the food of both viruses and bacteria? It turns out that viruses and bacteria have a sweet tooth. They thrive on sugar. So through the season here, because if you're going to eat a lot of sugar, it'll depress your immune system. Plus, it'll make you, being the food of the virus, like the COVID there, and with these new variants, you want to make sure that you stay healthy through the season. And I think that avoiding sugar is perhaps the best way. Now, I'm not saying, like, not eating fruit, you know, ripe fruit and all that. That doesn't seem to bother me a little, you know, very much or bother people very much. But all this refined sugar, including high fructose corn syrup and all those drinks, and, you know, if you go to Google, you can put in names. What are the names that they hide sugar under? Refined sugar, and the list comes up. It's quite a long list. And so it's a good the reason I'm calling way before Christmas happens is because it'll give you time to plan a very good Christmas menu and a New Year's Eve menu that will keep yourself and your community and your family healthy through the season. It doesn't have to include sugar. There's so many things out there that are wonderful to eat that will not enhance the COVID virus and won't feed it. So that's my simple message for today. Plan ahead. Make sure that cutting refined sugar from your diet over the holidays, and the odds are that you'll stay in good health and be less vulnerable to these pathogenic diseases.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing your opinion. Thanks a lot. William from New Jersey, you're on the air. Hello, William. Not there. Well, we move on. Denise from New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Denise.
Hi, Idris. How are you?
Hello. I'm hanging in. How about you?
Okay. Pretty good. Doing pretty good. And, yes, so I just wanted to... thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to talk a little bit about a little speech that I heard Biden share, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and just make a couple of comments about it. He gave his five-point plan for the winter, getting through the pandemic, and the last point was a little bit interesting, and I wrote notes about what he said. That point was he wants to accelerate the plan to vaccinate the world and also strengthen the international.
Okay, now you're in trouble. You're in trouble already.
Okay.
Because you didn't tell us what specifically you're going to talk about. You laid out a pretty wide carpet here. Where are you going?
Okay. Well, I'd like to talk about his fifth point, which is the one to accelerate his plan to vaccinate the world. And I wanted to share a little portion of his speech, just a paragraph, and just make a couple of comments about it. Would that be okay?
Well, no. It wouldn't be okay because you will not be expressing an opinion. You would be doing a review. This is about you isolate something, a subject. You have to do it that way because that's the way this kind of program is done when one is rendering an opinion. So we don't want an overview of what he said, because, again, that puts you in as a reviewer. That's not necessary. What is necessary is stick with your topic and say what problem you have with it. What is your difficulty with whatever it is he said? And make your point to counter that.
Okay. Well, that's what I was going to do, but I wanted to include actual his actual communication.
You're very ambitious. Very ambitious. But it's a matter of keeping people's interest and respecting time.
Okay. I mean, it's only about 2 minutes or 1 minute even, and I think it's like I think that what he says is important, then I don't know that we are really listening to some of these press conferences because we don't want to take the time out.
But that's not for today. Today, it's not your chance to correct an omission or anything like that. It is about you expressing a specific opinion about something and getting on with it.
Okay. Well, then, in summary, let me just say that...
Go ahead.
How about that?
Basically,
he was saying that, you know, we've already sent 280 million vaccines to countries including South Africa. And we are on the way to sending $1 billion more. So it's very ambitious. And I kind of wonder, you know, who made this decision? And I also think that, you know, because I don't know that the American people voted on that. And what is made to look like charity is bordering on something that looks a little more like a form of colonialism or a need to control outside of the U.S. So so basically, apparently there's a very low rate of vaccination in South Africa, and apparently 2 days before the Omicron announcement, the Omicron variant announcement, they had offered to send back excess doses of vaccine, saying that the people were not really, they don't really want it. And then there was the South African doctor who said that the cases
you're totally off course now.
Yeah.
I need to reel you back in.
Okay.
Now I have no idea what it is you really called to talk about.
Right, right. Yeah, because I'm bouncing over here and there. I hear you.
All right. I'm not saying something that you don't recognize is true. You're all over the place. So tighten it up a little bit, and let's figure out where you actually intend to go.
Okay, well, let's see. I think a lot of this, you know, it has to do with control and his agenda is very suspect.
Let me ask you a question. So what?
So what, that his agenda is suspect?
No, so he's looking for control, and everybody in a leadership position of a country is looking for control. What makes Biden so different in this regard?
Well, you know, he's at the helm of a gigantic effort to, well, you could say, for one thing, to vaccinate the world, even in his own world, in his own words. Why? Why is that important?
Well, why not? Let me ask you. I mean, so that's his position. At least he's clear. I'm interested in vaccinating the whole world. Now, what's your counter to that?
Well, that's a little tyrannical. And totally
tyrannical. Look at all the major diseases that the world has had to contend with. I could just name a few that happened in my lifetime. You have pox, polio, typhoid fever, diphtheria. You had all kinds of major outbreaks occurring all over the world. And it was fortunate for many countries, including my little tiny Trinidad, that had no way of producing any response to an affliction that massive. It couldn't do it. And in the spirit of, many nations recognizing that we all share the world, and eventually it could be the case that they'll have to deal with the same thing. So they show a little bit of benevolence and concern and charity, if you will, but typhoid fever would have wiped out millions of people all over the world. If the major countries didn't get involved and try to attenuate the spread of it, it was just so awesome what was going on. Terrifying. You know, I'm wondering whether it is that you really feel these things or whether that you have taken on other people's arguments without inspecting the integrity of those arguments yourself.
Well, I can tell you absolutely that I think that mandatory vaccinations are...
Oh, well, then you see, you just revealed it. You did not start out by telling us you have a problem with mandatory vaccinations. You told us that something else. You had a specific critique of Joe Biden. And now we're learning the truth, what you really are concerned about.
Well, they complement each other. He wants mandatory.
No, you're conflating them. You are conflating them because it makes it in your head much easier to target two things at the same time, but they're very different in many ways. They are the same in many ways, but they also require you to separate the issues so that the issue for you is, as you defined it, is Joe Biden and his quest to dominate the world. But that's not really your argument, is it?
Yeah, that's not exactly what I was getting at, really.
You tried a little something there. Well, you got caught.
Well, he was at an event for the National Institute of Health, who was very warm and welcoming towards him. And I think that, you know, in a way, I mean, he's just a puppet, in my opinion. He's not a person of real power.
Well, you can't come to these conclusions that he's a puppet. He's a leader. He's a leader of a country. You're not. He has to say things that
he's an appointed leader, indeed. He's appointed.
I'm sorry?
He's an appointed leader. In other words, our government is very...
You have not
monopolized
yet.
By
you have not yet understood the point and this why we do this exercise. Mm-hmm. You've got to see how you're screwing up your own argument.
I see.
Because you're not clear. You're not clear about what you're arguing about.
This is true. This is true. I'm over here and I'm over there. That's true. And I mean the things that I say. So it's just a matter of me not preparing well as I should have. So,
well, I'm saying this to you in the most friendly way that I can.
I hear you.
This is afflicting the progressive community and even radical communities. They don't understand that the human mind could only deal with X amount of information at one time.
Right.
When you will have to discern for yourself of all the points that you would like to make, which are the most important ones and why, and how are you going to prove that?
And I agree.
All right.
Well, may I wrap up in one sentence?
Yes, you can. You've earned it.
Okay. So basically, I think it will be interesting to see what happens in terms of you know, leaders straddling this line between pressuring, you know, people and just sort of being giving or caring and what happens with all of that? How do you get to your goal? So it'll be interesting to see what happens and if the people
it'll be interesting to see how the people regard the information they're getting and reacting to it. Because we still don't know, and you still haven't told us. You told us what you can clearly discern, that this is where Biden wants to go. Okay. But you don't know that for a fact.
No, I just know what I heard in his speech. But it's a question of mandatory versus, you know, are we going to use, you know, are we just going to be peaceful as a humanity? So, and
no, it's very important for you to be clear for yourself, nobody else. For yourself what it is that you are hearing and what is causing distress from what it is you're hearing. And that's where you start. You can't pile everything into one big mound and then you think you could address a problem. You can't express an opinion that way because you have to do battle with all the individual parts of it. And you don't have the time, you don't have the resources, you don't have the energy. So you take a little piece that you could manage. Something that is particularly jumped out at you.
Yes,
and
you're
ruminate on it, and you come up with an approach that says, "Well, I could manage this little piece of it, and I'll give it a try."
Exactly. Well, thank you for you know, guiding me. And you're right. So next time we'll see what happens. Thank you so much.
I thank you for your attitude. You were very, very accommodating of me, and I thank you for that. I really do. And
thank you.
I hope
I
hear from you again soon.
Okay, you will. All right.
Thank you, Bye. Denise. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Trees. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How about you?
Well, you know.
What?
I think you know by now. Me and my well-defined thumbs are hanging on. I'd like to express my opinion. I tend to understand where the other caller was trying to drive at, pertaining to vaccinations and how it's affecting the third, or for want of a better word, the third world. Or the colonialized world as far as Africa. This Omicron variant, I'm of the opinion that it's part of the great setup, and I think we're being bamboozled. I mean, the speed in which these variants are popping up, the selectiveness at which the CDC and the World Health Organization is designating these variants, And the actual fact that all we push is the vaccine about a variant that doesn't appear from my research so far, they don't know anything about. They don't know if it's more contagious. They don't know if it's more virulent. They don't know. They don't know anything about it. But they're assuring us that by taking a vaccine and a booster, a genetic therapy, which is what I call, because they don't even push the Johnson's and Johnson's vaccination anymore. They only push the Pfizer and the Moderna, is going to save you. And I don't trust it. I haven't trusted it from the beginning. There's a lot of money involved. There's the potential on the surface. There's a potential for an ongoing, quote-unquote, shot every year or every four months, every 6 months when a variant comes out. These pharmaceutical companies are making billions of dollars, and it's vulture capitalism, in my opinion. And no one is putting up any type of a front. No one is putting up any type of alternate theory or second opinion.
So tell me what's wrong with what you just said.
Go ahead.
Off base. No, you tell me.
What is wrong with what I just said?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong.
You put yourself smack dab in the middle of a target zone. Without citing all you have cited so far to prove, quote-unquote, to prove your point, is what you're thinking and feeling.
No, no.
Does that suffice?
It's based on what I've read. They know nothing about this Omicron
variant. But we need to know what you have read. You haven't told us what you've read. You just used a blanket term, and this is a particular exercise. Well, you have to be a little bit more specific.
Okay. I've read the excerpts from Gary Knowles' website. I've read the excerpts from Peter Bregan. I've read the excerpts about the 10 reasons why you shouldn't wear a mask by Dr. Judy Glick. I've read the report by I can't remember his name. It's Armstrong. He's a reporter. I've spoken on your show before about how he traced out how the virus might have possibly been part of this gain of function research. There's a lot of conjecture that is suppressed, and now it's taken as a hand. Even if you do come up with a viable or medically scientific based alternative treatment, you're poo-pooed, and no one takes a look.
I understand where you're going with it, but this exercise that we are involved in today has a particular mission, and that is to train people to not just talk from what they have, you know, they've read this article, they read that article, that's fine. But is it enough to rely on as proof to the contrary?
Well, I mean, it's an opinion. I mean, an opinion is based on factual research and the ability to look on the other side of a question. And my point in general is, no, we're losing the ability to look at the other side of this based on media prevalence, based on pharmaceutical influence, based on political influence.
I just want you to revisit this for a minute. In proving that very point, you have repeated exactly the methodology the other side uses. You say, well, I have read this, I have seen that, I've heard the other, you know, and you annotating what you have been able to gather from these various points of information. But on the same at the same time, somebody could argue everything that you just outlined has a sameness to it.
Well, I mean, we're presenting, you're talking about medicine. Science is not art. Science is facts-based inquiry, and then you have an hypotenuse. You perform experimentation, and through the experimentation, you either prove or disprove your hypotenuse. That's science. And what I'm saying to you is, what we're getting now is not science. It's not true research. It's based on my opinion is based on a profit motive. And I look.
Be careful.
All of this.
That's good.
Say hello.
Yes, continue.
No, I look at all of this from that aspect. I look at the plus and I look at the minus from that aspect. And I tend to go more with the minus, more with the Dr. Peter Bregans, more with Gary Knoll, more with other scientists who I can't and other sources that I have found, because they, from my opinion, they don't have a monetary stake in this game. I believe that Dr. Fauci, I believe that the World Health Organization, I believe that the CDC, and I believe that the United States government have a monetary stake in prevailing the fact that you have to take some type of shot every month, every year, or every season to promote their causes. And I think that influences their research. And time and time again, when you're dealing with science and you see that big corporations are behind it, the research is askew. From tobacco to global warming when Exxon funded it, from tobacco when Winston-Salem and Marlboro cigarettes funded research. That research is always skewed, and
ask you a question here.
Right.
Take exactly what you said and put it in a frame where somebody like me asking you questions, making you trying to make you doubt yourself. But what you are saying to us listening is that you have come to a particular opinion about the field, the various aspects of the field.
Yes.
As it relates to these viruses.
Yes.
Now you take the same information. How do you situate the information in an authoritative way that makes me pay attention to your effort to convince me that I should take another look at this?
Well, what I'm saying is that do the research on your own. I tell everybody, don't take what I say for granted. Do the research on your own. The one beautiful thing about this time is we have the internet, we have Google, we have YouTube. You can follow up on the names that I've mentioned, Dr. Frieda Bregan, Gary Noel. You can follow up on the alternative views to a certain extent as long as they're allowed to be presented. Because that's another horse that's going on the track as far as how people are being suppressed. If they do have alternative views, they're being knocked off YouTube, Twitter, things like that. But the limited sources that are out there, you can look at it in yourself.
I'm trying to encourage you to see is that simply by repositioning what you say, you could possibly reach people who just are saying, well, you're just doing the flip side of what everybody else is doing. And that is gunning for my mind. But you're not making a case as to why I should pay attention to what you say.
Well, all I could do is tell you this. Look, for example, look at the track record of this government pertaining to medical experimentation.
No. Because you're jumping now to another feasibility.
What I'm saying is that
you can make what you have pointed out so far.
Yes.
You could make a very relevant and cogent argument for people to stop and do some research, some preliminary research and whatnot, and they may soon find themselves asking questions that they didn't think of before. So instead of coming from a perspective that you have already made up your mind, you put it out there to encourage people to do their own thinking.
I've already developed my own opinion based on what I have researched, and I've presented my opinion. I mean, you can take it, you can leave it, but I suggest that people do your own research, find out what's going on, because a lot of things are happening very fast, and a lot of people are accepting things that years ago we wouldn't have.
So build your argument in future encounters with people. Build your argument that way. Try that and see how it goes over. Rather than say, I have concluded this, and therefore this is my truth now. And you would be smart to adopt my truth. Let's say, this is how I came to my conclusion. I did this, I did that, I studied the other. Whatever it is that builds your case, now you're making a case. And you're causing people to think, or rethink even.
Well, I can change my phraseology to a certain extent. I can see where you're coming from with that. I tend to, once I've researched something and I developed an opinion, I tend to be strong with it and I tend to assert it. And some people find that intimidating. But I see your point. Let me just finish up by saying, do your research. Do your research. Check out
very
what's
tactical,
going on.
Very tactical. I like that.
Check out what's going on, because a lot of what's going on, if you look beneath the surface, there are other agendas that are afoot. And I'm not being a conspiracy theorist.
Right there,
I'm not being a...
That's your statement. That's where you start, in relating to other people. That's where you start. It's severe, but it is simple enough not to intimidate me or anybody else listening to you. You're proposing, you're giving us a directive, but it doesn't sound like it. And you are telling us through your own experience how it has helped you develop a fuller understanding of this issue that is railing all over the place. You know, you'd find that there's something common to that. A lot of people in this fight, this is what they're doing. They're telling you in so many ways what is the right thing to believe. You are telling us this is my experience. This is my way of exploring the various sides, and this is the conclusion I have come to. Now, people may agree, may not agree, but you can't beat that argument.
Well, I don't presume to tell anybody what is an absolute truth. I leave that to your own enlightenment, to your own education, to your own discovery. My presentation might have been askew, but the simple fact I'm trying to present is people are not questioning this, and it should be questioned. People are
and
not are
be,
not using critical thought.
That should
thought.
Be your and, guiding theme. That should be mm-hmm. your declarative statement. And you would get my attention every time when you say things like that. I'm not
Thank
telling you,
you
what
I
to believe, but this is my personal evolution. This is what I did, and this is the conclusion I've come to. And this is why I hold this company, this government, that government suspect. Nobody can argue with you.
Thank you. I'll take that under advisement. And
yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good.
Thank you. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open.
I will. And my ears, too. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Really. Patricia from New York, you have the last say today.
Good afternoon, you, Therese, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope you and
Thank
the family
you.
Are
afternoon.
All doing well. So,
Thank
today,
you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Today, I actually have some information that I don't think is widely available. So, during the waning days of the Trump administration, Trump was trying to make a valiant effort to privatize Medicare. And so he was fashioning a new program that's called direct contracting. And it would come under the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. And what and the individuals who fashioned or who formed this program came out of the pharmaceutical industry, Wall Street bankers, and a lot of his right-wing friends who clearly don't have public health as a concern. So under the direct contracting model, they would be paid monthly by Medicare and Medicaid to cover a specific portion of a person's medical care, which would be a significant shift from traditional Medicare as we now know it, because traditional Medicare directly reimburses to providers. So the direct contracting, there would actually be like a middleman, and they would be allowed to pocket the funding they don't spend on patient care, which would incentivize them to skimp on Medicare patients' care, a lot, many of whom would be auto-enrolled into these direct contracting plans with even without their knowledge or permission. And there is actually a form of this now that you know is called Medicare Advantage. And for those people who have televisions, for the last maybe three or four weeks, you've been hearing commercials nonstop about enrolling. Well, Medicare Advantage was that first form of Medicare privatization. And, you know, if you ever talk to someone who has Medicare Advantage, they can't wait to get out of it fast enough, because essentially what happens is that they, you know, they're profit-seeking middlemen, and all they do, they don't save money for the taxpayers. If anything, it costs more money while it takes away choices for seniors. So, you know, it's not a done deal, but so few people know about it. If they follow through with this and this is permitted to proceed, it would hand traditional Medicare that all of us age 65 and over use to Wall Street investors without any input from seniors, doctors, or even members of Congress. So I wanted to share this with everybody. I mean, I know a sizable percentage of the callers to PRN are, you know, over 65, and so Medicare is probably their primary health care provider. They don't know. I don't think anybody knows anything about this. So I share this with you because, you know, for whatever they're worth, this is the time to really reach out to your congressional individuals in the House and Senate to say this has to be stopped. I don't know what, you know, Biden has continued so many Trump policies, you know, for black people. I don't see how they don't see that there is so little difference between Trump and Biden. But here again,
we have to leave it there because we're out of time. And what you're saying is very important for us to understand. So I ask you to call in this coming week and further educate us on this issue. Thanks a lot, Adam, for calling in today, getting us started. Thank you. Thank you all for making such incredible efforts to, you know, climb those stairs and become somebody's major headache, you know, when they think they have you, and you, as I say, you come round the bend and you disassemble their arguments very easily. In my experience with Patricia, she's excellent at that. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. Get some rest. Get people in your life who bring good things to your life. And get with it next week. We'll talk. Bye-bye.